Why are some minds drawn to darkness? Is it the thrill of the unknown or something far more sinister? Hello and welcome, fellow sleuths and curiosity seekers. You're tuning in to The Real Crime Diary, Daily Dose of Crime, the podcast where every day brings a new shade of noir to the stories you thought you knew. Here, we don't just skim the surface. We dive deep into the abyss of true crime, dissecting every detail with precision. If you're fascinated by the macabre dance between shadow and light, then my friends, you're in the perfect place. Now I know you're all on the edge of your seats, waiting for today's dose, so let's not keep the mystery waiting. Don't forget to hit subscribe for your daily dose of crime, and if the suspense isn't too much to handle, share this podcast with your fellow truth seekers.
There's something about the stories that lurk in the shadows of our society. The unspoken horrors that reside right next door, which captivate and chill us to the bone. Welcome, intrepid listeners, to another episode of The Real Crime Diary. I'm your host, and today we probe deep into an abyss that gapes wide in the heart of Detroit. This tale was not sought out in the dusty annals of crime history. No, this chilling narrative was suggested by one of you, our devoted listeners. It's a stark reminder of the evil that can hide behind the veneer of everyday life, and a testament to the trust you place in us to bring these stories into the light. In this episode, we unspool the thread of Mitchell Blair's life, a thread that winds through the darkest corridors of the human soul to a discovery so shocking, it rattles the very foundation of a community. Her seemingly ordinary home on the east side of Detroit concealed a secret so grim, it's a stark reminder of the atrocities one is capable of committing within the very walls that should denote safety and love. So brace yourselves as we embark on this harrowing journey together, investigating the unimaginable horrors that shook the once quiet neighborhood, and unmasking the grim specter of a mother's gruesome actions. Stay with me, and let's delve into the mystery of Mitchell Blair and the grisly revelation that left even seasoned detectives aghast. Buckle up, you're tuned into The Real Crime Diary. It was a typical Detroit morning in March 2015, when a team from the 36th District Court arrived at a faded apartment complex. Their job? A routine eviction, or so they thought. 35-year-old Mitchell Blair, a resident facing financial woes, had failed to make rent payments, and it was time to clear out her home. Eviction crews are no strangers to the somber task of displacing lives, but nothing could have braced them for the macabre scene they were about to stumble upon. The home, which on the outside mirrored the wear and tear of a struggling neighborhood, held a chilling silence. Blair wasn't there when they entered, but as the crew began to remove pieces of worn furniture, the mundanity of their workday came to a screeching halt. There, among the discarded belongings and echoes of a family's life, sat a white deep freezer. Its presence was unassuming at first glance, but inside it cradled a horrifying secret that would soon unravel before the crew's disbelieving eyes. As they pried open the freezer door, an initial wave of cool air gave way to the stark reality of what lay within. Wrapped in a large plastic bag, the frozen body of a teenage girl emerged. And there, beneath her, another gruesome discovery. A young boy enshrouded in a blanket. The muffled sounds of the city outside could not penetrate the dense shock that now filled the room. The discovery shattered the quiet of the neighborhood as word spread rapidly. Neighbors shared disbelieving glances, grappling with the grotesque reality that took place right next door. This wasn't the plot of a horror movie, this was real life, and it had unfolded on their very doorstep. As the police arrived, a local resident wasted no time in revealing Blair's whereabouts. She was quickly found with her two other children, one a mere 8 years old. For the community, the revelation was a sucker punch to the gut. Detroit, a city of resilience and grit, was no stranger to hardship, but this sinister act was a monstrous deviation from the struggles they knew. The city reeled as the news rippled through, leaving a haunting echo of grief and disbelief. Questions were posed in hushed tones between neighbors. How could this happen? And for over 2 years, how did no one notice? As the days unfolded, the community mourned publicly, leaving toys, flowers, and candles, creating an impromptu shrine on the steps of Blair's former home. It was a stark contrast to the cold sterility of the freezer, where Stephen and Stoney met their tragic end, a public outpouring of love in memory of two young lives cut chillingly short. The story of Mitchell Blair is as chilling as it is heartbreaking. Blair, a mother from Detroit, shook the world with her horrific acts. A mother who turned from protector to predator, from caregiver to a brutal killer of her own children. When the details of her confession emerged, one could only listen in horror and disbelief. In a repulsive twist of maternal instinct, Blair admitted to her crimes in the stark courtroom of the Wayne County Circuit Court. Her voice, void of remorse, recounting the horrors she inflicted on her children. She considered her actions justifiable, seeing herself as a righteous avenger against the demons she believed her children to be. Her cruelty didn't come in haste. It was methodical, calculated, prolonged. Over 2 weeks, she subjected her son Stephen to the kinds of torture one can barely conceive. Once Blair's youngest child accused Stephen, that 9-year-old boy barely out of his infancy, of a horrendous act. Blair's fury knew no bounds. She punched, kicked, starved him, made him swallow household cleaners, suffocated him with plastic bags until he passed out, and awakened him only to continue the torment. Blair scalded Stephen with boiling water, brutally assaulting him to the point where his skin peeled away from his tender body. And when she asked him if he liked the sensation of being asphyxiated with a belt around his neck, a once innocent childhood home transformed into a chamber of unspeakable torture. Her cruel actions culminated in Stephen's eventual death on a late August day in 2012. But the nightmare didn't end there. A mere 9 months later, it would be Stoney, Blair's 13-year-old daughter, who would become the target of her misdirected rage. In this mother's mind, a routine sibling spat was manipulation, a sinister plot. Blair's questioning escalated to outright threats, and it wasn't long before Stoney faced the same fate as her brother. Beaten with blunt objects, deprived of nourishment, beaten, asphyxiated until she too succumbed like her brother. With a disturbing sense of practicality, Blair stored her daughter's body atop her brother's in the family deep freezer. For Blair, this was a resolution, a way to move forward without the burden of what she saw as her children's transgressions staining her life. Meanwhile, she continued living with the remaining children, those unaware siblings left to puzzle over the disappearance of Stephen and Stoney. She said it with a dangerous calm that killing Stoney had been deliberate, intent. This mother, this killer in a parent's guise, saw no fault in her actions. She even spoke of it as one would a job well done, claiming she'd do it all over again if given the chance. The court, the media, the public, we all recoiled at the words of a woman so devoid of maternal love. Her claim that she was purging evil from her household by slaying her demonic children. But with no substantiation of the appalling allegations she levied post-mortem against her son and daughter, it stood as nothing but the flimsy defense of a fractured mind. As we process the grim reality of Mitchell Blair's confession, it pushes us to grapple with the profound darkness that sometimes dwells within the human soul, a darkness that can consume even those who we expect to love unconditionally. The scale of her ghastly deeds leaves us to wonder about the true face of evil and ponder how a parent's love, the very essence of nurture, can turn catastrophic in the most horrifying way imaginable. In the wake of the gruesome discovery of two young lives brutally extinguished, Mitchell Blair faced the full weight of the law. Her trial was a harrowing affair, with the glare of the media spotlight and the somber atmosphere of the courtroom merging to cast a stark light on the unfathomable crimes committed by a mother against her own children. The prosecutors charged Blair with felony murder and first-degree premeditated murder, a powerful statement reflecting the severity of her actions. She stood before the judge and a community reeling in disbelief, and her responses were nothing short of chilling. With unsettling calmness, Blair admitted her guilt, proclaiming almost with a sense of pride the destruction of what she deemed demons. But beyond the confessions and the charges, there was a palpable need to understand the psychological unraveling that could lead a mother to such extremes. Experts and laymen alike probed the depths of Blair's psyche, searching for signs of existing mental illness, the power of paranoia, or the potential influence of past trauma. The question loomed: in what mental state does a person commit such acts and then continue a life alongside the hidden evidence of their darkest deeds? Peering into this enigma, we also must question how the justice system handles such complexity. Are cases like these black and white for the courts, or is there room to consider the psychological suffering that might underlie such brutality? The justice system walked a fine line between seeking retribution for the unforgivable and understanding the nuanced conditions that could spawn such horror. As Michelle Blair was sentenced to life without parole, A curtain was drawn on the possibility of redemption for her. The stern sentence reflected an adamant stand by the justice system. These were acts beyond the pale, for which society could brook no leniency. Despite the resolution of a legal outcome, a disquiet remains. How do we reconcile the need for justice with the muddied waters of psychological affliction and societal failure? Mitchell Blair's case stands as a somber testament to the darkest capabilities of humanity, and it implores us to reflect on the broader implications of how we, as a society, address and understand mental health, familial dysfunction, and punishment. Emerging from the shadows of the most inconceivable cruelty, the story doesn't quite end with the sentencing of Mitchell Blair. Today, we turn our gaze towards the survivors, Gabby and her younger brother, whose resilience paints a portrait of hope amidst a saga of horror. Can you imagine the psychological weight of walking past a freezer, knowing it holds a dark secret? Gabby Blair doesn't have to imagine. She lived with the alarming presence of her siblings' concealed bodies day in and day out. That was her reality, a home that had turned into a house of horrors. With Mitchell Blair's conviction, Gabby and her brother found themselves stepping into a wholly different world, one away from the clutches of their mother's harrowing reign. They were taken in by their great aunt, a relative who became their guardian angel of sorts, ushering them towards a new beginning. This new home, starkly contrasting the previous, became a place of healing, nurturing, and acceptance. Both children returned to school, a move that signified not just education, but reintegration into a society they were forcibly hidden away from. Can you sense that faint glimmer of normalcy starting to weave into their lives? Still, the scars remain. Therapy sessions became their refuge, a place where words shaped the tools to rebuild shattered psyches. The complexities of trauma require delicate and skilled hands, and with professional help, they began the painstaking process of unpacking and reconstructing their shattered worlds. Let's not forget the young brother. His journey led him to the warmth of a new family through adoption. The promise of a fresh start, to grow roots in an environment that offers love and security, could be the very foundation upon which he rebuilds his fractured life. And though the path ahead is long and winding, the hope is that with each step, the darkness of the past becomes a distant memory. But therapy isn't merely a solitary pursuit. Community support plays a vital role in bolstering the survivor's strength. The collective effort of educators, counselors, foster caregivers, and the kindness of strangers reinforces the notion that though they emerged from a house of horrors, they have not stepped into this new world alone. Gabby, the older sibling with the burden of memory and witness to atrocities unspeakable, articulates a chilling reality. The sheer fear of becoming the next victim constantly lurked in her mind. She adapted to survival, measuring words, reading moods, and navigating the treacherous waters of her mother's temper to avoid the freezer's cold embrace. But her narrative doesn't end with fear. Gabby's voice, once stifled by terror, now speaks of survival and hope. In a testament to human resilience, Gabby shares, "I'm happy I was able to make it out alive." Her courage, a beacon that cuts through despair, showcasing that even in the darkest of times, there is a possibility for renewal and life. The journey of the survivors of Mitchell Blair's brutal domain is one of continuous recovery, punctuated by small victories and inevitable challenges. They emerge not as mere remnants of a past atrocity, but as a living defiance of their mother's monstrous acts. In their resilience, we find an extraordinary strength serving as a silent rallying cry for those who face their own battles against the darkness. After delving deep into the heart-wrenching story of Mitchell Blair, it's time for us to take a moment and reflect. Not just as true crime enthusiasts, but as part of a broader society. This case raises a glaring question that we need to grapple with, a question I want to put forth to you, the listener. How did these crimes go unnoticed for years within a bustling Detroit community? It's a disturbing thought that right next door, in the house you pass every day, such horrors could be unfolding without a hint to the outside world. Children vanished and life went on with eerie normality, until fate intervened in the form of an eviction notice. It makes me wonder, what are the societal blind spots that can hide such a gruesome secret? Is it our hesitation to intervene in what we perceive as family matters? Or perhaps the less we know our neighbors, the easier it is for darkness to fester behind closed doors? I urge you now to join the conversation. What are your thoughts on the factors that allowed this tragedy to slip through the cracks? Could this have been prevented, and if so, how? Do you have theories on what community members, authorities, or even families could do to better ensure the safety of those who might be suffering in silence? Let's not let this be just another story we listen to and move on from. Let's learn from it, talk about it, and ignite a conversation that could someday save lives. Reach out on our socials, drop a comment, share your perspective. This isn't just about solving crimes. It's about understanding them, preventing them, and making sure that no other children end up names in a case file, their plight unnoticed until it's far too late. And remember, in a world that's ever spinning with mysteries and untold stories, your voice, your vigilance, could make a world of difference. Let's come together as the insightful, engaged community I know we are. And so we come to the close of yet another chapter here at The Real Crime Diary. Today, we've navigated the grim corridors of Mitchell Blair's mind and the unfathomable reality that she created in her Detroit home. A chilling narrative that we hope has brought not only attention to the horrors of her crimes, but also a deeper understanding of the tragedy that unfolded. We've walked together through the initial shockwave that rippled across the Detroit community, felt the tremors of Mitchell Blair's appalling confession, and contemplated the enduring scars left on the survivors of this domestic abyss. But the story doesn't end here. It continues in the courts through the healing journey of the children and in the conversations that we carry forward from these revelations. Your engagement and suggestions breathe life into The Real Crime Diary, and for that I'm deeply grateful. As we seek out truths and piece together the jigsaw puzzles of criminal psychology and justice, it's your passion and commitment to unraveling these dark tales that empower us to continue. Before we part ways, a gentle reminder to subscribe, like, comment, and share, to not only stay updated with our latest episodes, but to help grow our community of the curious, the compassionate, and the critically minded. Your voice matters in this narrative of understanding, prevention, and ultimately justice. Until next time, stay inquisitive, stay engaged, and remember, real crime, real stories, real insights. This is The Real Crime Diary, signing off.
Jump into the week with Murder Mondays as we unravel some of the most chilling murder mysteries. Ever wonder what lurks behind the psychology of perpetrators or the precision of forensic milestones? Oh, we've got those stories, and they're waiting to send a chill do. But wait until Tech Tuesdays, when we bridge the gap between crime and technology. Cyber heists, digital footprints. Technology has a dark side, and we're turning on the flashlight. As we leap over to Wanted Wednesdays, gear up to join the global manhunt. The world's most elusive become our target as we track down the profound stories of escape and evasion. Now, Thursdays aren't for the faint-hearted. Terror. Thursdays dig deep into the impact of terrorism and extremism, unfolding motives and aftermaths that have shaped the world. Freaky Fridays, oh, you're in for a treat, or perhaps a trick. These are the stories that defy explanation. When the ordinary turns extraordinary and the unexplainable becomes the narrative. And to cap off the week, Siberian Saturdays chill us to the bone. We reinvestigate the cold cases that echo through time, awaiting the warmth of resolution. Before we wrap up, I want to give a big shout out to all of our dedicated listeners. Your support through sharing and subscribing keeps these stories alive. Spreading the word is spreading the awareness. And in this dark, shadowy labyrinth, awareness is the beacon of hope. We're in this together. And the journey continues day by day, each episode unlocking another chapter. So stay engaged and keep that sense of wonder and curiosity alive. If today's glimpse into The Real Crime Diary has snared your interest, just wait until you hear what's coming up. There's never a dull moment in the quest for truth and justice, because the next page is always darker and even more enthralling than the last. Remember, by delving into the dark, we bring light to the mysteries of criminal behavior and the unending quest for justice. That's it for today's dose of crime, but the diary is never closed. Until next time, keep the finger on the pulse, but don't let the darkness pull you in. I'll be here page by page, story by story, revealing what's hidden in the grim corners of crime and justice. Stay curious, and until we meet on the next day's entry, keep an ear to the ground and an eye on the shadows.